What do you trust in? Your government? Your savings account? The future? When you come right down to it, there is little we can trust in. But there is one book we can trust with our eternal destinies. The Bible is the written revelation of God to mankind. If you'd like to hear what its power can do, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is called Seven Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Today, Dr. Lutzer brings his seventh and final reason, the power of the Bible.
Let's suppose you were stranded on a street, a dimly lit street in Los Angeles, late at evening, in riot-torn Los Angeles. Your car had a flat tire, and you were sitting there wondering what you were going to do next, and about a dozen young men come out of a building next door, and they see your plight, and they begin marching toward you. What difference would it make to your disposition if you knew that they were on their way home from a Bible study? I think even an atheist would feel better if he knew that. Today I'm speaking on the topic of the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. As you know, this is the last in a series of messages entitled Seven Reasons Why I Believe the Bible is God's Word. We talked about a logical reason, a historical reason, a prophetic reason, a Christological reason, a scientific reason, a providential reason, and now we get to a personal reason, namely the power of the Word of God. There's no book like it. Here's a young man riding along in a train, brought up in a Christian family and even savingly believing on Christ, but in anger toward God taking his brand new Bible and throwing it out of the window of the train, as far as he could fling it. Weeks later, he comes back in repentance, knowing that he had done wrong and desecrated God's Word, and he's looking for where he threw his Bible and discovers that it was found by a young man in that community who took it and read it and had been converted by it. And so here he is with a brother in Christ as a result of the Word of God. There's no other book like that. There is none except the Bible. The Bible is called light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You're walking along and the Ten Commandments are like ten lanterns that guard the ditch. Don't slip into the ditch. Here they are. Stay on the path. Word of God, Jeremiah says, is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It takes hard hearts who, when they understand the love and the compassion and the mercy of God, in desperation come to him, and their hard heart is made soft by the power of the Word of God. It is a seed that falls into the ground, and when it begins to grow, it becomes so strong that it cracks the concrete. It is a sword, as we shall see in a moment. The Word of God is all that and more. Would you be surprised if I were to tell you that the Word of God actually has some of the characteristics of God and does what God does? Does what God does. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19 for a moment. Psalm 19, where we have a great psalm on God's two great books, his book of nature and his book of revelation, the Bible. Psalm 19 begins by saying, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. And if you were here for the message, you know that I preached on a scientific reason why we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I referred to this passage along with many others. But I want you to notice that in addition to the book of nature, where we go out and we say the heavens declare the glory and the power of God, there is another book, and we pick that up in verse 7. This is the book of the law now. And the difference is this, that nature may tell us that God is powerful, but nature cannot tell us that God loves us. It cannot talk about the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God. But language, which is much more precise, can tell us exactly what God is like. We may not understand it all, but at least we know what the text tries to communicate. And now I want you to notice this carefully, and if you have a pen in your hand, you can underline six descriptive adjectives which refer to the Bible, but which also are characteristic of God. Let me be very clear that the Bible is not God. We do not bow before the Bible, but the Bible is the voice of God. And there are some things that may be said about God that cannot be said about the Bible, but there are some things said about the Bible which can also be predicated of God. They describe the Word, and they describe the living Word, Christ, the incarnate Word. Both. Look at this. You'll notice it says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul or restoring the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, and God is perfect. He is perfection too. And notice what the power of the Word does is it restores the soul. It brings us back to God. It ministers to our spirit as to who we are. It touches us at the deepest level of human need. In fact, it not only restores us, it gives us life. James says, of his own will he begat us through the word of truth. And you remember 1 Peter chapter 1, the scripture says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I speak today to some of you, I hope the majority of you, who are saved. You know that your name is written in heaven, you've come to assurance of eternal life. How did God do that miracle? He did it through the Word, empowered by the Spirit of God, but He did it through the Word, through the message of this book. That's what God does. It grants life. So notice that the law of the Lord is perfect. You'll notice it also says it is sure. There's a second word for you to underline. It is sure. That means it is dependable. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. Is God dependable? Yes, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, I will not fear what men will do unto me. There is that sense of dependability upon God that we know that He is always there and that His promises are going to be with us. Well, that's what the text says about the Word of God. It is sure, making wise the simple. Now, sometimes when we talk about the simple, that is a derogatory term, but in the text, that's not what it means. It means simple people are people who tend to go astray. People who tend to make unwise decisions, is not that true of all of us? Are we not simple in that sense that we just sometimes don't know what to do and we seek wisdom? Well, there it is in the Word. The commandment of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Next word, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. In Hebrew, that word right is the same word from which we get righteousness. Isn't God always right? Yes, God is right. He sets the standard. And when we begin to see God's standard and we begin to see reality as it is, we discover that there is rejoicing in the heart. Next word, also verse 8, it is pure, enlightening the eyes. What could be more pure as God than God? The scripture says that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Interestingly, evil spirits, which are sometimes called demons in the New Testament, are always spoken of as unclean spirits because they are the opposite of God. God is purity. God is whiter than the snow. God is the one who sets the standard of righteousness and holiness. And the Word of God is pure, the text says. Enlightening the eyes, enabling us to see reality as it really is. It's like buying a suit and you want to walk outside so that you can see it in the sunlight, because these artificial lights sometimes give a wrong impression. They dilute the color. They give a shade that is not true. God is the true shade, the true color. Then notice another word. It says clean. It says in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. Now you might think, well, why does it say the fear of the Lord? That is another synonym for the Word of God. Because it says in the book of Deuteronomy, I am giving you this law so that you might fear the Lord all the days of your life. Sometimes, by the way, you find preachers like to say, well, it doesn't mean that we're scared of God. It just means that we revere Him. Well, I don't know whether or not that can be proven biblically. It seems to me that God wants to make sure that people are afraid to disobey. And there's nothing wrong with being afraid of God, especially if you're about to do something that he does not like. It's good to be afraid of him. And the text says that the fear of the Lord, which is a synonym for the word of God here, it is, what does it say? It is clean. It is clean. God is clean and pure, enduring forever. And then one more word, verse 9, last part of the verse, it is true. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And God is truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. Now, don't miss my point. Do you notice how that the character of God and the character of Scripture are really one and the same? What the Bible says about itself, it can say about God himself. No wonder the psalmist goes on to say, yea, verse 10, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. I challenge you to go to Wall Street and preach that. And people will be laughed at. Or you can go down to the LaSalle Street here in Chicago, the great banking industry, and say, I found something more precious than gold, yea, than fine gold. And it's the Scriptures. Could you imagine how that would go over in today's society? But it's because our values are totally reversed. The price tags have been rearranged. That's why, because it's sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. I have to pause here because many of us, when we read the Old Testament with its harshness, we say to ourselves, you know, how could anyone have loved God's law back then? How could anyone have loved the Word before you have the book of Romans and before you have John, the Gospel of John, and before you have 1 Peter with all those lovely promises? How could people in the Old Testament have enjoyed the Word? Well, all that David had here was the Old Testament. And he says, I find God's Word, God's law, sweet, sweeter than the honeycomb. Think this through. What food is to the body, and we need food in order to live, the Bible is to the soul. And just like we are fed by a balanced diet physically, so we need to be fed by a balanced diet spiritually, and it's all there in the Word of God. For example, the Word of God is meat. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. I have fed you with milk, but now I'm going to feed you meat. It is also, as I mentioned, milk, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. So you have milk, you have meat, you have bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then if you want something to put on your bread, you have some honey for the bread. And you have all that you need to nourish you and to strengthen you and to restore and to refresh your soul. It is all in the Word of God. Spurgeon, the great preacher of the last century, said, why? This book has wrestled with me. It has smitten me. It has comforted me. It has smiled on me, frowned on me, clasped my hand, warmed my heart. It weeps with me. It sings with me. It whispers to me. It preaches to me. It maps my way and it guides my goings. All within the Word of God.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of The Power of the Bible, the last message in his series, Seven Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Tomorrow, more examples of the power of the Bible and why you and I can and must trust what it says. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series is now in print as Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, and this book can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11-174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.